I'm Steph Adusse, and this episode is a solo one. It's a space for me to reflect on some of the defining moments of the past year and what they reveal about the state of race and justice in the UK. I'll be talking about the 2024 UK race riots, what they exposed and the legacy they've left behind. I'll also share my thoughts on the treatment of Diane Abbott, Britain's first black female MP, and the response following her interview from the Labour Party. These moments aren't isolated, they're part of a wider, enduring pattern of racism that continues to shape the lives of black and brown people across this country and the world. This episode is a bit of a reckoning, a reflection, and I hope a call to stay awake, stay active, and to keep fighting for a future rooted in justice and truth. On the 29th of July, 2024, a young man went into a holiday dance class and attacked. He attacked a group of predominantly girls and young women, and he killed three of those girls. 6-year-old Bibi King, 7-year-old Elsie Dot Stankham, and 9-year-old Alice Da Silva Aguirre died as a result of the actions of that man that day. As most people in the UK will recall, very quickly, allegations about the young man, his ethnicity and his status in the UK started to circulate on social media. And following this, we quickly saw riots disguised as protests breaking out across England and Northern Ireland. Between the 30th of July and the 5th of August, we saw riots, looting, people being dragged from their cars, asylum accommodation being set on fire, and as a black person in the UK, it felt like I was on some kind of lockdown. Worried for my own safety, worried for the safety of my daughter and of the people around me. At the time, on LinkedIn, I called for people to remember how they felt, because what I saw was a lot of outrage, disgust, and shame at the rioters. A lot of people saying, "This is not us. We don't support them. Not in our name." The thing is, I had seen it before. I'd seen it when we had the murder of George Floyd. And people said, "This is disgusting. We can't see this again. Something has to change." And companies rushed. They rushed to put out statements to say that they were in support of the black community and that they did not tolerate racism. But what we didn't see was anti-racist action. And gradually, it all died away. And gradually, people went back to living their normal lives. Because they could. Because this didn't directly affect them. However, it did directly affect members of the black and ethnically minoritized communities. It affected the global majority people living in the UK. We have not forgotten that fear. And as a result, we feel less safe in our homes. Rhetoric over the last year has continued to build. Anti-immigration rhetoric, anti-asylum rhetoric, dressed up as wanting to protect women and girls. And yet what we see is silence when something violent happens to women and to girls, and it's not perpetrated by somebody with brown skin. In April 2025, a man went out with a crossbow in Otley in Yorkshire. He attacked people taking part in the well-known Otley pub crawl and injured two women. But there was silence from the far right, because protecting women and girls is only relevant, apparently, if you have brown skin. I was born and brought up in the UK. I have lived pretty much all of my life in the northeast of England. I work in the community. I've worked in the public sector and the charity sector for most of my working life. I pay taxes and I believe I'm a good neighbour. But what people see when I am out and about is the colour of my skin, the texture of my hair, the shape of my nose. They see a black, mixed heritage woman. I don't want to hide my ethnicity, but I don't have a choice, even if I did want to. It is there for all to see. Last month, I attended and chaired a panel for the Angelou Centre's Stories of Colour launch. This is the work that they did post the riots with the women and the young people and children who use their services. A black-led women's organisation talking about their experiences of the riots and the time afterwards. I have to say, I found the event unbelievably difficult. It took me right back to the fear and the anger that I felt and have felt since August 2024. I have always had to be aware of where I'm going and how I conduct myself. I have always had to think about whether somewhere is safe for me to go or not, about why people have reacted to me in certain ways and whether that might be racially motivated. It hasn't necessarily stopped me from doing things. It has stopped me from saying things, and I think that's part of the point. Being black and being female has meant that I have to safeguard myself in spaces, real and online, in ways that others do not. Just this morning, I watched a post on TikTok where a white American man talked about how he had just driven his car into his garage and was having to think about, have I closed my garage door quickly enough? Will I be safe? His point was that the rhetoric in the US is making it less safe for everyone, and that it's just a matter of time before he becomes unsafe, and he's never had to think about that before. But that minoritized groups and women have to think about this all the time. And what last year's riots did was it heightened that lack of safety. And it has emboldened, once again, the racists. Just this weekend in Newcastle, there has been a protest outside asylum accommodation by the far right. There was a counter-protest, I'm pleased to say. Asylum seekers in particular, and people who are Muslim, are being targeted. They are being scapegoated. Now, I could take the view of I'm not Muslim, I'm not an asylum seeker. I'm born in the Northeast, I have a British passport, I am a British citizen. But no one is free until everyone is free. And so, I'm all right, Jack, is not an attitude that I take. I want to move on to talking about Diane Abbott. Diane Abbott, British MP, the first black British female MP, was suspended from the Labour Party for comments that she made, that she actually made a while ago and was suspended and then readmitted, but she repeated on the radio. And I'd like to play part of that interview for you now. And then I'm going to come back and we can talk about it.
You represent in the East End of London, in Hackney North and Stoke Newington, a multiracial community, a huge Bengali community there, for example.
Oh, yes. And that what makes it a great place to represent? We've got a big black community. I mean, historically, it had a big Jewish community. It was one of the biggest Jewish communities in London, and it remains one of the biggest Jewish communities in the country.
You mentioned the Jewish community in your constituency. You got into terrible trouble for a letter you wrote to The Observer about racism, and you appeared to suggest, in the view of some of your critics anyway, that the kind of anti-Semitism that the Jewish community suffered, or travellers suffered, or Irish people suffered, was somehow different from the racism that you as a young black person had suffered. You were suspended and there was a great hoo-ha. Do you look back on that with regret?
No, not at all. Clearly, there must be a difference between racism, which is about colour, and other types of racism, because you can see a traveller or a Jewish person walking down the street. You don't know. You don't know unless you stop to speak to them or you're in a meeting with them. But if you see a black person walking down the street, you see straight away that they're black. They are different types of racism.
But the effect is the same. If you are going to a synagogue on a Saturday morning and you have to have guards outside because some people might come along and want to insult you or even throw things at you, that's pretty much the same as the kind of thing you describe in your book as happening to you as a black person. The fact is, one is a person of colour and one isn't. It's neither here nor there. If you suffer it, it's still damaging,
isn't it? It is here because you can spot that person of colour from hundreds of yards away. That is what is different.
You withdrew the thing. You said, look, if this is misunderstood, as you thought it was, then I apologise for it. But fundamentally, you don't believe you did anything wrong or you didn't attempt to say something that you didn't believe.
I just think that it's silly to try and claim that racism, which is about skin colour, is the same as other types of racism. I don't know why people would say that.
But you would, I assume, condemn anti-Semitic behaviour in the same way that you would condemn racist behaviour against someone simply because of the colour of their skin.
Well, of course. And I do get a bit weary of people trying to pin the anti-Semitic label on me because I've spent a lifetime fighting racism of all kinds, and in particular fighting anti-Semitism, partly because of the nature of my constituency.
Diane Abbott there. And I have to confess to getting a bit emotional listening to that, because as Diane says, the whole idea that all forms of racism are the same and equal is a nonsense. To give an example of this, one of the people who called this out is the broadcaster Robert Peston. And Robert has taken offence to this on the basis that he is Jewish and has experienced anti-Semitism. What's really interesting is I had no idea that Robert Peston was Jewish. Why would I? He's not an Orthodox Jew and therefore has no external garments or customs that would indicate to me that he is Jewish. I might have guessed, I suppose, from his name, but to me, Robert Peston is not a particularly Jewish name. And so, whilst I'm not denying that he has faced anti-Semitism, absolutely not denying that, this is not something that he has to fear from strangers. I'm not denying that racism against people who have white skin but are different for different ethnic reasons happens. Absolutely not denying that. But what I am saying is I agree with Diane Abbott that when you literally wear your difference on your face, it makes a huge difference. I chose not to go into Newcastle when the anti-asylum accommodation protest happened. I could have, and in all likelihood, I would have been safe. But but travelling to and from the protests would have put me at more risk than a white anti-protester because of the colour of my skin. This is what Diane was saying. This is what we are all saying. Because of the melanin that we have in our skin, which ironically is the thing that is there that allows us to live in hot countries and not get sunburnt as readily, as well as the fact we're a little bit more sensible about how we spend time in the sun than people who are not so used to it. That melanin, because of that melanin, and because of, yes, I'm going to say it again, colonialism, we are overtly at risk and we are discriminated against. We experience racism before anybody has even heard us speak. I go back to the issue about protecting women and girls. Femicide in the UK happens every 3 days on average. A woman is killed every 3 days. They are killed by a man. But what we see is anger, protests, calls for people to be sent back home, disgusting allegations and slurs about our cultures and our religions based on our ethnicity that you do not see if the killer is white. The vast majority of sexual assaults and rapes in the UK are perpetrated by white men. And yet, the far right would have you believe that it is those who are ethnically minoritized, and particularly recent migrants to the country, who are perpetrating all of this. Do you feel uncomfortable when you walk past a group of young black or brown men in the street as a woman? You may well do. But you know what? I feel uncomfortable when I walk past a group of white men in the street as a woman, in exactly the same way, because the perpetrators of that type of crime are men. If you feel uncomfortable around people with brown skin, particularly those that you believe might be asylum seekers, I want you to think about why that might be. Do you have a narrative in your head about how these men see white women, for example? Where has that come from? Where is the evidence for it? Have you actually spoken to followers of Islam, for example, about the true beliefs and teaching of Islam when it comes to women? I suspect not. If you feel uncomfortable when people are speaking a different language around you, why is that? What's that about? You think they're talking about you? Do you really think you're that important that you're going to feature as part of their conversation? Do you really think that the thing that is at the front of our minds is you? We have our own stuff to deal with. We're thinking about ourselves, our families, our work, how we're going to get home, what's for dinner. That's what we're talking about. Not about you. Especially not if you're not causing us any danger or harm. I often say to people, if you feel uncomfortable, sit with your discomfort and question it. What is it about? Because that discomfort is probably rooted in racism. And I'm not saying you're a bad person. What I'm saying is you are conditioned by years and decades and centuries of propaganda that has taught you that people who look different to you and have a different skin colour to you are out to get you and to harm you. That they are dirty, that they are violent, and that they will do you harm. And before we wrap up, I just want to address one last thing about this danger of becoming a minority. And I'm going to leave you with a question. I'll first of all say white people are not becoming a minority in the UK, nowhere near. However, let's just transport a couple of hundred years future and actually mixed heritage people become the majority, because that would be the most likely if white people were to become a minority. If minorities are treated so well, if minorities get such preferential treatment, and if you have not done anything to harm global majority people, why are you scared of being a minority? Why would that be a bad thing? What is it you're scared of? Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed that episode of Black All Year. It would be great if you could subscribe and review, because not only will it make sure that you get the content, but it'll help other people to find it too. Take care.